As always, best time to leave is either very early, like now, or if you can, stay late. President Trump voicing his frustration with Russian President Putin.
He's killing a lot of people. I don't know what's wrong with him. What the hell happened to him, right? He's killing a lot of people. I'm not happy about that.
Less than a week after the two leaders held a two-hour phone call in an effort to move towards peace negotiations, Russia launched a deadly attack on Ukraine this weekend. CBS's Willie James Inman has details on a trip the president will make this week.
The president says he will visit Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, home of U.S. Steel. Mr. Trump recently announced his approval of a partnership between Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel that he says will create 70,000 jobs and add $14 billion to the U.S. economy.
And when asked about that partnership this weekend, the president said,
Nissan's a very good company. We'll see. But it's an investment and it's a partial ownership, but it'll be controlled by the USA.
Nissan, a Japanese automaker, is not involved in the deal. Well, it's a big weekend at the movies. Elise Preston reports.
Lilo and Stitch is back on the big screen for the first time in decades. Its $183 million Memorial Day weekend debut, jumpstarting what could be a very profitable summer for Hollywood. Mission and Lilo are expected to combine for a historic $260 million holiday weekend domestically.
Jennifer Lopez returns as host for the American Music Awards tonight in Las Vegas. Taylor Swift is up for 6 awards. If she wins any of them, she'll break her own record for most AMA wins ever. Rod Stewart will be honored with the Lifetime Achievement Award, and Janet Jackson is getting the Icon Award. Both are performing, as well as Blake Shelton, Benson Boone,
please stay,
along with a bunch of others. The show is at 8 p.m. Eastern on CBS and Paramount Plus. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Governor Tony Evers is pushing for more support from the state legislature after a statewide tour highlighting his administration's accomplishments in workforce development. Republican lawmakers removed more than 600 measures from the governor's proposed budget, including investments in apprenticeship programs, the Worker Connection Pilot Program, and the Workforce Innovation Grant Program. During the tour, Evers also highlighted a lawsuit against the Trump administration's cuts to AmeriCorps. And a relief for many patients, UW Health has announced a new multi-year contract with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. Officials say it will guarantee healthcare access for Anthem members at various UW Health facilities across the state. The two companies had been negotiating for months and just kept doing extensions of the same deal. According to a press release, the newly agreed-upon contract will cover employer-based Medicare Advantage, Medicaid, and Affordable Care Act marketplace plans. And every spring, officials across the state have to remove abandoned boats from Wisconsin shorelines. It can be a really time-consuming process, and every year in Milwaukee, it's almost turned into a spectator event people show up to watch. And now, state lawmakers are proposing a bill that would add hefty fines for folks who leave their boats out. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The proposal comes days after a cabin cruiser named Deep Thought was pulled from the Milwaukee shoreline and a yacht named Sweet Destiny was towed from the St. Croix River. The proposed legislation would give owners 30 days to collect their boat after law enforcement authorities deem it abandoned. If the boat isn't removed, the owners could face a $10,000 fine and up to 9 months in jail.
You can find more Wisconsin stories and all our shows anytime on the Civic Media app or on our website, civicmedia.us. On your Memorial Day, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Red Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers opening a 3-game series this Memorial Day at AmFam Field in Milwaukee against the Boston Red Sox. We'll recap the game later tonight. The crew with a 6-5 win over the Pirates Sunday at PNC Park. Overall, another good showing from starter Logan Henderson. The win going to reliever Jared Koenig. The Brewers coming back with clutch hits in the 8th, and closer Trevor McGill earned the save in the 9th. Pat Murphy.
McGill, that was remnants of our closers of the past. The best. four or five times. We're showing signs. I mean, didn't have to win this game the way it was going. Four hits and three in the first, and then looking behind us, and we've seen this a bunch this year. It was really just like sick to my stomach. And then bam, 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 you know, you just knew those guys. I mean, and they're all behind in the count and still battling with, I think every hit was with two strikes or nearly every hit. And the Pirates are playing as good a baseball as they've played all year.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 58 this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening. Cloudy after midnight, our low 47. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with some late day showers, 58. Some heavy rain, a half inch or more tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
No one on this planet is better at meeting fans than Arnold Schwarzenegger. And the reason I say this is because he's very engaging. He grabs your hand, he pulls it in, he looks at you in the eyes, and he gives you exactly what you think you're gonna get. It's awesome to watch. How are you? So great to meet you. Look at you. You're so strong. You pump iron. Aye. This is incredible. It's a red carpet event. Excuse me. How are you? Nice to meet you. You're so strong. People are walking away just staring at their hand. I noticed something. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a handler, a man whose job it is to basically reset Arnold for the next person he's about to meet. Here's the signal. He stands behind him and he squeezes the back of his arm. That lets Arnold know, time to end it, time to move on. With this red carpet, this is incredible, right? Excuse me. Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. And I stick my hand out and he grabs it and he pulls me in, right? And he's like, how are you? So nice to... I recognize you. I know who you are. And in my mind, I'm like, he knows me! But outside, I'm like, yeah, that's me. You are hysterical. You have to be the funniest person I've ever witnessed. Oh, my God, I need your information. Excuse me. Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you.
That's the Marine Corps hymn. We've been playing different hymns from the different branches of the service this morning on this Memorial Day. 12th District Alder Henry Perez with me. Good morning. Thanks for coming in on this. Kind of a little close to that microphone. Thanks for coming in on Memorial Day today.
Thank you, Don.
Everybody's
for the invitation.
Everybody's sleeping in and you got up early.
No, I really appreciate it.
You're a teacher. You're used to that.
Yeah. I get up to school about 6 o'clock every morning and start working on my goals for the day.
My goal is today to be able to make it through the day to get to sleep at night. That's my goal. All right, here's some interesting stats about Memorial Day. Let's do this right now. 25 cities around the country claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day, but actually it all started in New York in 1873. How can you claim it if it's, I mean, the fact is the fact. It was started 1873 in New York. 75% of us will go to a barbecue this weekend, the second most popular holiday for grilling. The first one is, what's the most popular holiday? 4th of July.
4th of July, yeah, 4th of July.
Between now and Labor Day, Americans will eat 7 billion hot dogs. That's all of us together, by the way. 818 hot dogs every second.
Wow.
Yeah. Be careful out there. 25% bump in cooker-related fires on Memorial Day. About 50,000 people will be injured in car accidents this weekend. 44% in traffic fatalities will involve alcohol. And 42 million veterans have served in wartime. A total of 1.3 million Americans have lost their lives defending the United States. That is an important statistic, remembering them, because that's what Memorial Day is all about. During the Vietnam War, I had a good friend of mine, Steve Van Cott. And when we were taking, he went to high school with me. We wanted to get our licenses first. So we went to Driver's Ed. And it wasn't at our high school. It was at another high school. So we had to walk there every day. And I met him at his house. And we walked every single day. Rain, sun, didn't make a difference. Because we wanted to go to Driver's Ed. He got his license. Graduated high school. Was killed in Vietnam. I mean, within a year and a half, all that happened. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. This guy I walked to school with. You know, to Driver's Ed every single day. We had a pizza every day at the end of Driver's Ed. And here he was. He had signed up and he was killed like shortly after he joined there. So to Steve Van Cott and everybody else who gave their lives for our country, we do appreciate it very much. And I hope people on Memorial Day think about that for a few minutes. I know the barbecue. It's okay to have barbecues. And I can't bring myself to say happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. I think about that, too, a lot of time. I've had several people tell me, happy Memorial Day. And I'm thinking, well, it's a sad occasion. It's not
yeah,
a
this
happy.
Is, you're right. This is,
and of course, we're thankful that the freedoms that we have in this country now were brought about by our veterans and especially those who passed away. And me, as a naturalized citizen coming from a communist nation, is really appreciative of their sacrifice so that I could have a life here in the U.S.
And all these people that gave their lives in Afghanistan and Iraq, we don't think about them. We think of World War II, World War I, Korean War, Vietnam. But Afghanistan, people gave their lives. I mean, we weren't at war per se, but they still gave their lives defending our freedoms and what we stand for. And it's just, I just cry when I see those caskets come home.
Yeah, we're really humbled by their sacrifices for us.
I mean, they had their whole lives ahead of them, and they said, "All right, I'm going to give up my life so you can enjoy yours." And that's a big thing to do. Yeah. A lot of people wouldn't do that. Stand in the way of a bullet so I can have freedom. They knew what they were getting into. They knew they may not be coming home. I mean, you try your best to come home, but I don't know. I feel so sad on this day. So when I get out today, we're going to Union Grove at 9 o'clock for the Memorial Day ceremony. The local American Legion post does it every year. And they pick a different veteran who passed away during the war. My father-in-law, he was a U.S. Marine, but he didn't die in the war. But they honor, if they don't have somebody, you know, they then honor a veteran that day. They do a gun salute and they play taps. Local high school has got a bugler who plays taps. Very good, by the way. And so we do that every year. So we're off to Union Grove at 9 o'clock. You go out to Graceland, right?
And
What's your lineup today?
Today, I'm going to be doing the opening invocation, and I'm going to be doing the closing blessing. It's going to be at 11 o'clock at Graceland Park Cemetery. 10 o'clock, the parade starts on West Boulevard and Highway 20, and you're all welcome to do that right after the parade. It'll be done by 11, so we plan on starting at 11 for the Memorial Day ceremony for Racine County.
Yeah, how big the parade is in Union Grove?
How big is it?
It's over in 30 seconds. They march down from the high school to the cemetery in Union Grove, and there's only like 12, 13 people in the whole parade. They used to have the high school band, but they stopped doing it years ago. So it's real quick, down and dirty. Boom, it's over with, and then they do the ceremony is what you want to see anyway. But that's what Memorial Day is all about. Now, you, on the other hand, are involved in a lot of things. I got a whole bunch of questions to ask you. not you, but you as an alder person, I want to ask, you know, just because you hang around there so long. How long have you been an alderman?
I'm the longest serving alderman, continually serving alderman right now. I started in 2013. So I've been elected 7 times. And again, I have to start running for re-election pretty soon.
I thought you were going
to
say, oh, I was elected in 2006.
Not quite.
Okay. And you enjoy it?
I do. The fact that I can help people and that people know to call on me when the city is what they believe not treating them fairly makes a huge difference to me. As a pastor, my life career goal has always been to help people. As a police officer, that was always my goal. And so when people call on me to help them resolve their issues, especially with the city, I get great enjoyment out of that.
I was going to say something there. Now I forgot what I was going to say. I guess it's not important. I forgot. You get a lot of people contacting you when you're trying to relax and enjoy yourself. And they come up to you. Hey, Alder, I got this pothole in front of my house. There's a crack in the street. And every time I hit it, I break an axle. What are you going to do about it?
It happens a lot.
Not with a New York accent.
Not that much.
And it'll do with a New York accent.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that much?
No, it doesn't happen that much. Well, I'm in the 12th District, which is actually right here where Radio Park is.
Oh, good. And we got a complaint for you.
Yeah, no, we don't. I think I've handled some of the complaints, actually, here for Radio Park. And our neighborhood is actually pretty good. We don't have a lot of those issues. And so there are phone calls, which I try to resolve right away. And I always ask people to leave me a message so I can try to figure out the details before I call them back with an answer. And a lot of times, for example, I've been successful at setting up the traffic controls over at Starbucks School, which they were having issues with, and also at Graceland School when that was part of my district before it got rezoned. And I'm very thankful that we can actually help the kids. The kids are a big, you know, they're our future here in town. And so we have to make sure that they're safe and that they can do the right thing in society. And that's why I concentrate and focus on trying to help the community, trying to help the kids, especially as a pastor and as a teacher and as a former police administrator, police officer, and police administrator.
That's right. You were in the police force, yeah.
Yeah. 18 years in Miami.
Yeah.
I've been
That's a rough place to be a police officer.
It was in the 80s, too, is when I started, which was really rough. Yeah. The Metro-Dade Police Department, where I first started, was actually in some kind of gunfight every day. So it was very interesting.
A lot of drug dealing down there.
A lot of Colombian drug dealers was a big thing at the time.
Think of the movie Scarface with Al Pacino. That's what I picture back in the 80s in Miami.
I actually met a guy who modeled his life after Scarface, ended up arresting him.
Tony Montana.
Yeah, it wasn't Tony, but some guy who modeled his life. And we ended up searching his house, and my partner leaned on a refrigerator box. The refrigerator box leaned over, and money started coming out of it. And there was $3 million in this refrigerator box. It's the only thing we could find in the house at the time. And then he got indicted. And what was interesting about that is that the squad that came to investigate actually ended up stealing $1.5 million of that, and they all got indicted. And it was quite an interesting experience down in Miami. We had a lot of corruption all the way around.
Now, you're working on, it's called Snapshots on Safety in Brissette County. It has to do with gun safety, and including for kids. We have been very fortunate here in Racine and the whole southeast Wisconsin area. I mean, it seemed like for a while, every month, there was some kid with a gun in a school shooting up the place. And we've been fortunate not to have it here. But wherever it is, people say, well, it never happens in a place like this. Well, it does happen in a place like that. It can happen everywhere. You got some kid who's got a grudge and access to a gun, and he'll kill people with it. They don't have the sense to know you're ending a life. And not only that, you're ending your own life, because you're going to go to prison for the rest of your life. And you're probably ending your parents' lives, because they'll be held responsible. I mean, it's a big thing, but you're offering gun safety to kids. Now, when you say kids, we're talking about how old?
Oh, we're talking about starting at about 9 years old.
Really?
Yeah. We found that kids have access to guns when the parents don't control it properly. For example, one of the simplest things you can do is put your guns in a safe. There's biometric safes. There's push-dot safes so you can open right away for access. And parents don't realize there's gun locks that you can put through the barrel so that it can't shoot. And
But if you need it in a hurry.
Well, the biometric one and the push dots work right away.
Yeah.
The gun lock actually needs a key, but you can keep it handy. And the city of Racine will actually give you a gun lock, the police department, for your guns at home. So we're trying to do a service that way to the community. A couple of years ago, I was teaching, and I had a kid shoot a gun in the bathroom next door to my classroom. And that really reminded me of the importance of this. I'm a nationally certified firearms instructor with the United States Concealed Carry Association, and we do work and have a program specifically designed for kids. I want to put on a program this summer for kids. And I've had some volunteers already call me and say they wanted to be part of that. Part of it is going to be the trauma, the physical trauma. So I have a nurse, Renee Beck Santiago, who has offered to help me. Actually, she's a PA. I'm really excited about this. We have a couple of people who have said they would sponsor part of the program. We're looking for a date that works for everybody right now, but we're going to do part of the program from United States Concealed Carry Association, some other programs, but especially we're going to focus on gun safety.
I've never held a gun in my life. I've never even had it on my hand. I would be terrified to hold a gun. My wife wanted one for her birthday. This is when COVID just hit, and she worked for the Caledonia Police Department for several years. But she wasn't a sworn officer. She was a dispatcher. So I contacted one of the officers she used to work with, and he said, well, I'll go down to the store and help you get one because I'm going to get it as a gift because I don't know anything about him. And so COVID hit, and the stores were closed, and we didn't wind up doing it. But she wanted one. She wanted to learn how to shoot because in the police department, she just never had access to it. She just never did it. I just never shot one before. I would be terrified. And I don't know if my life depended on it, if I can take a life. I told you I have a bug thing at home
right, where
we don't kill bugs in our house.
Right.
We capture them and, you know, sing Born Free and let them out the door. I don't know if I could take a life. I can't even take the life of a bug.
Well, you'll find that when it's between you and another person, life is important.
People react
that way.
But I just don't think I could take a human life. I don't know. I don't know if I, you know, when I was in the military draft, I was in the, when they were calling off the birthdays, you know, the lottery. And I said, I don't know if I can kill somebody if I have to go into the military. I don't know if I could take a life.
Sure.
And they said the same thing. When the gun's aimed at you,
yeah,
you'll do it. I don't know if I could do it.
Well, I think we recognize that life is sacred, and that's why we have to be prepared. And we have to be prepared with knowledge. We have to be prepared with action if necessary. The important thing and the most important thing always is to try to de-escalate. I mean, that's always the first thing. We're teaching now. I'm an Alice instructor and a I Love You Guys instructor. So it's a program design which is basically run away from the situation, hide if you can, and fight if you must.
That's me, run away.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's a good strategy because if you're not there, you're not going to be involved in that gunfight.
I was in one fight in my entire life on this planet, one fight. And it was in sixth grade in grammar school. A kid named Mickey Strange, who was a friend of mine, one day turned on me. He told all the kids he's going to take care of me on the playground after we get it done. So I step out of school, and there's the entire school is waiting. He's leaning against the fence. And I said, all right. And I charged him as fast as I could, and I just body slammed him against the chain link fence.
Sure.
He fell down. He was out of breath, and he started crying and walked away. That's it. But I didn't hit him. I just charged him.
Right.
And knocked him off his feet, and he wasn't prepared. He expected me, you know, bobbing and weaving with him. I didn't do that. And that's the only time in my entire life I was in a fight with somebody. I tried to de-escalate. I had people come up to me and, you know, threaten me. De-escalate. One reason is I don't want to lose a tooth. I don't want to break a nose. I don't want to lose an eye.
And that's very important. I mean, and that's the first thing. Guns always have to be your very last resort where you have no other option. But we teach that, and we teach the parents the proper storage, the mechanics of it, so they're familiar with it if something happens.
Can 9-year olds grasp what a gun is? And when you use it, sometimes there's no turning back.
Right.
You grasp that concept?
Well, we have to start training so that they do. I mean, we teach them math, we teach them spelling, we teach them reading. We need to teach them gun safety right away in the morning. I've written a gun safety cartoon book for my grandkids that I'm trying to publish right now. And it has to do with finding a gun in the park, making sure it's covered, going, asking for help, not touching it. And that's part of the story involved in that story. It's Bernie the Moose Dog and his adventures, by the way. I have a whole series that I'm working on right now.
And these kids who find a gun in their homes and they go to the high school because somebody called them a name and now they're going to kill everybody in the high school, everybody can get their hands on. For that kid to get the gun, it couldn't have been in the safe.
Right.
Unless he knew the combination to it, and he shouldn't know it.
Right.
So the parents are now accountable.
Oh, absolutely. We definitely hold the parents accountable if that happens. Actually, the law says that if you're 14 years old or less and you have access to a gun and commit a crime, the parents are held legally responsible for that. At the age of 14, the kid is held responsible, but the parents are held, according to Wisconsin law, from 14 and under.
You know, my father, for 4 years during World War II, he was a tail gunner. And so he did all day. He sat in the turret and shot planes down and strafed ships. That's all he did. He killed people every day. That's what he did. And I asked him once, I said, would you ever get a gun? He said, never.
Yeah.
4 years of killing people with guns. I said, I'll never, ever touch a gun. And, you know, I can understand it, you know.
Yeah, it's very traumatic both ways. If you do the killing or if you're shot at. I've been shot at twice since I've been in Wisconsin working security. Mm. And the last time my wife's like, Henry, you're getting too old for this. You need to stop. I'm like, yeah. So now I do training and I do private security.
Yeah.
But I also do church safety consulting and nonprofit consulting. So if you have a
That's another thing.
I'd be more than happy to do that for
synagogues,
you.
Synagogues, churches.
Yeah.
I mean, they all get, they have nuts coming in there.
Yeah. Church safety is the fastest growing crime in the world right now. Church-related safety.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the other day, I mean, this guy was going to bomb a synagogue, and they found out beforehand, and they got him. Luckily, they found out beforehand, because they brag about it, and people turn him in. We're talking to 12th District Alder Henry Perez. He's in here on this Memorial Day morning at 7:26. It is time for Paul Harvey and the rest of the story, brought to you every day by Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha at 75th Street and 30th Avenue, Kenosha's family tradition for stunning customized floral arrangements, homemade candles, and premium chocolates.
When words aren't enough, say it with flowers from Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. From breathtaking bouquets to elegant arrangements, they create floral designs for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and every special moment in between. Complete your gift with DeBrand truffles or a signature Carrie's candle with scents like Wisconsin Northwoods, Ocean Breeze, or Mom's Home. Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street just west of 30th Avenue. Open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
The rest of the story. It's the 1931 Indianapolis 500. Race driver Dave Evans is at the wheel of the Cummins car, the so-called Cummins Diesel Special. The Cummins company has entered it to promote the use of diesel fuel in automobiles. Dave Evans' racing reputation will assist that promotion. What I'm saying is that nobody really expects the Cummins car to win the Indy, and it's not going to win. But by the time the dust is down and the track is silent, an amazing record will be established. That's the rest of the story. It's a good way into the 1931 500. The Cummins car seems to be running very smoothly. But then Dave Evans looks down at the temperature gauge. Uh-oh. The needle is moving hotter and hotter. Any hotter and the engine will blow. So Dave knows that he must signal for a pit stop, or for him the race is over. There is an appropriate hand signal which he must make as he passes the pit that will prepare the mechanics for the problem at hand. Dave makes the signal, but Jim, the mechanic in charge of communicating with the driver by hand signals, Jim does not respond. There can be only one interpretation. The decision from the Cummins pit is that Dave Evans is to continue the race. He's not to stop, not for any reason. But the needle on the engine temperature gauge keeps climbing, and so in the next pass, Dave signals to the pit again, communicating the specific trouble, this time more frantically than before, but again, no response whatever from the pit. So now Dave Evans realizes he is to proceed without a pit stop, until his engine blows up or until the end of the race, whichever comes first. And what came first was the end of the race. And now Dave pulls into the Cummins pit. Why did they make him stay out there, he demands. He didn't wait for an answer. The mechanics check the engine, and what do you know? Everything's fine. The block is barely warm. The problem all along was not an overheating engine, but a faulty temperature gauge. And that is how the Cummins Diesel Special became the first car in the history of the Indianapolis 500, the first ever to run the race nonstop. It finished 13th. It made Indy's first continuous run. And the reason was a novice mechanic in the Cummins pit, a fellow named Jim, to whom the hand signals had been entrusted. In fact, Jim had a sheet of paper tucked in his belt with all of the hand signals drawn on it. But when driver Dave Evans signaled for help, Jim panicked and forgot where he'd put that piece of paper. And so it was that racing history was made that day, not by an extraordinary machine, not by a legendary driver, but instead by a greenhorn member of the pit crew who one day would make aviation history with the first transcontinental flight under 24 hours and the first flight over the Andes Mountains by an American and a daring air raid on Tokyo in World War II. All your life, you've heard of the daring, deft, and dangerous accomplishments of General James Doolittle. Now you know the rest of the story.
And we have another rest of the story coming up with Paul Harvey, and that's during Dan Marcus's show, The Wax Museum. He'll be here at 12:05, Paul Harvey, with another rest of the story on WRJM. Right now, it's 7:30. Let's check our morning news, see what's going on.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. If you're celebrating the Memorial Day holiday and you're overindulging, plan to have a designated driver or utilize a rideshare app. But if someone you know is in a pinch, AAA is offering an option to keep impaired drivers from getting behind the wheel. The Tow2Go program means anybody in a bind who doesn't have a way home except for their car but has had too much can call AAA and they'll tow your car where you need it to go. You do not need to be a AAA member to use the service. It's available through tomorrow morning. And a proposal at the state capitol would expand early voting hours across Wisconsin. Joanne Krulatz reports.
The Republican-sponsored bill would address inequalities between voting in urban and rural areas, providing a 20-hour minimum for in-person absentee voting without needing to make an appointment. The measure would also establish a funding mechanism to help municipalities meet minimum hour requirements. Proponents say adding more opportunity for early voting will help minimize congestion and possible errors on Election Day.
And anytime you're in a car, you should be wearing a seatbelt. That's what authorities are focusing most on for the next few days. Law enforcement agencies across the country and across Wisconsin have started their annual campaign to reinforce seatbelt wearing. Melissa Kay has more.
The annual Click It or Ticket campaign begins May 19th and runs through June 1st. Buckling up is one of the easiest and most effective steps you can take to survive a crash. Wisconsin law allows officers to stop and cite motorists for not wearing a seatbelt, and drivers can be fined for every unbuckled passenger in their vehicle. The goal of the Click It or Ticket campaign is to reduce fatal crashes and coincides with the first summer travel holiday.
You can find more Wisconsin news at civicmedia.us. Hope you're having a safe holiday weekend. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Wisconsin dairy farmers, get ready. Starting June 1st, the way your milk check is calculated gets changed. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. That's when the changes proposed to the federal milk marketing order go into effect. Leonard Polzin is a dairy economist at UW River Falls and is a dairy extension specialist. He explains what he hopes the changes to the federal milk marketing order mean for Wisconsin dairies in the long run.
When we do the math and calculate it all the way through, at the end of the day, we're still initially in this first month here at a negative, but the hope is all of these other adjustments will make it less negative, and that over time, through, you know, these market incentives, again, of pooling more milk, we can hopefully get more premiums back, we can have less negative PPDs, and that as we go on, we can see greater or higher milk prices than what we would see otherwise.
There you have it. Dr. Leonard Polzin, he's a University Extension Dairy Specialist at UW River Falls, painting a bit of a picture on what Wisconsin dairy farmers should be aware of beginning June 1st when those federal milk marketing order changes go into effect. Well, yesterday in Chicago, commodities stayed fairly firm. Numbers are next.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet. When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Well, traders are obviously looking forward to the Memorial Weekend. Remember, no trading on Monday. On the close yesterday in Chicago, July corn finished 2 cents stronger. December new crop down to 453 and a quarter. Soybeans for July were up about a nickel. November new crop up three at 1055 and a quarter. July wheat on Thursday closed 4 3/4 cents lower, 544 and a half. As far as the dairy complex, barrel cheese on Thursday up 0.75 cents at 187. 40-pound block cheese up a penny and a quarter at 194 and three quarters. Double A butter was up to 236 and a quarter per pound. There's a quick market update. I'm Pam Yonke.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 58 this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening. Cloudy after midnight, our low 47. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with some late day showers, 58. Some heavy rain, a half inch or more tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Presidents, they've all aged while in office, right? They age while in office. Because the job is so stressful that it affects you physically. We've seen it. Obama, first 2 years, President Obama went totally gray. His face started drooping, got all droopy in the face. I don't know, one time I was like, is that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? George W. Bush, he shrunk 4 inches. At one point, he was looking like Gollum from The Lord of the Rings. Ah, my precious! Bill Clinton, he grew that bulb on the tip of his nose. Bill Clinton looked like the man on the operation board.
Rolling along. For it's high.
Army song on this Memorial Day holiday today. And just want to remind people that what this day is all about. 52% of Americans think Memorial Day has lost its original meaning. Only 60% say remembering America's fallen troops is the first thing they associate with it now. But 40%, that's not the first thing. Now, it's okay to associate it with barbecues, the beginning of summer, and the three-day weekend that we have. Just make sure you take time, even if it's just a few minutes, to honor the fallen soldiers as well. And you're going to do that today. Alder Henry, is it Alderman or Alder? You don't mind? Okay. Alder Henry Perez is going to be, he's in here right now. And you're going to be doing a ceremony at Graceland today for the
Yes,
vets,
I am. It's, okay. I'm going to be doing the invocation and the benediction for the Memorial Day ceremony that's being put on to honor our veterans that have passed away, especially those during their service.
Yeah, I'm going to head out to Union Grove. The American Legion does a whole big ceremony out there, and we do there every year because my father-in-law is buried out there. I am going to be buried in that cemetery. We went out yesterday to clean the gravesite and, you know, fix it up a little bit. And we just drive by. I said, I want to see if anybody moved into our site yet. And we got four graves over there. And just make sure nobody's there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, well, what are you going to do if they're there? I'm going to dig them up and get them out. They don't put them somewhere else. I hate to bring this up. Just, it was amazing. The other day on the news, they were showing a funeral at a church.
Yeah.
And the pallbearers are bringing the casket out to put into the hearse. The bottom falls out of the casket.
Oh, no.
And the body falls on the steps of the church.
That's
and the pallbearers disastrous. Are standing there in shock. What do we do?
What do you do, right?
They're like frozen. They don't know what to do. And there's the body with the bottom just laying there on the church steps. What do you do?
Fortunately, I've never had that happen to me.
I never want to see it happen.
I've officiated many funerals.
Oh,
but that would be
How does that even happen?
Yeah,
I don't know. Okay, so you're in here today. We're talking about all the safety programs you have. And let's continue with that. We talked about gun safety, but there's what's the program you're doing with the Racine County Eye?
Well, this is a very interesting. Denise, who runs Racine County
Eye. Denise Lockwood's in here all the time. Yeah,
she's in here. Yeah. She was in here not too long ago.
Yeah.
She's very great with me. And whenever I submit something, she usually publishes it. And I started submitting what I call snapshots on safety because I saw issues that needed to be addressed in the community. And she's published 10 of them. And so I have a series with them called Snapshots on Safety. All you have to do is search snapshots on Racine County Eye or my name. And if you Google my name on their site, a whole lot of stuff comes up. So I recommend just snapshots and safety.
Mugshots, police records.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Indictments, everything comes up. No.
Well, being an alderman, I get in the news a lot. So and she's very good at reporting stuff like that. She's permitted me to contribute to her website and to the news. And I'm really thankful because it gives me an opportunity to share some of my expertise. And so I've written 10 things to look out for in the community. And a lot of times when I see something going on in the community, I'll do some research if I don't know, and I'll do some basic tips. And of course, these are not the all in all, but they're conversation starters. Get to know what's going on. These are some issues to help you think through what's going on in your life. So I've done snapshots on gun safety, on fall safety, fall not falling down, but fall the season, Halloween, personal safety, home safety, back to school safety, jogging safety, and school bus safety.
You know, you mentioned all those things, and while you're mentioning them, I could think of stories I heard in the news where somebody was hurt or killed. Because they weren't following those. You got the buses. You've got.
Sure.
There was a huge bus accident. And I just saw the video again the other day on YouTube. Right by Rapids Drive. Do you remember that? A city bus rammed over and knocked over a school bus. Did you ever see that video?
No, I didn't see the video.
Oh, man. It's terrifying to see. There were no kids in it. It was an empty bus.
Yeah.
But
with
the driver. But it. I don't know who was at fault. I just saw the video. And it's like shocking to see. But you hear these stories about school buses and, you know, people get into accidents.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're dealing with kids, and there's no seatbelts in school buses.
Oh, no, there are. There are seatbelts in school buses. The kids just don't use them.
I heard there are none because if there's an emergency, you can't unbuckle 50 kids that quickly. So you've got to have them out of the seats and out the back if there's a problem. I've never seen a school bus. Do they have them now, seatbelts?
Yeah, they have seatbelts. Actually, the seatbelts are, the buses are designed so that the law enforcement officer responding to the scene can know where things are. For example, the black line that goes across the bus is actually where the seats are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Different levels of markings on the bus. There's an emergency way that you can get in from the outside.
Are we supposed to know this, or are you just telling us this for the first time? I never heard of this before.
Yeah, well, first responders know, are aware of it. Maybe the community is not, because they're not too concerned with that. They're more concerned of getting their kids out of the, you know, safely onto the bus and onto school. But, you know, school bus safety is really interesting, because a lot of people don't know many times when to stop, when the flashing stop sign is on or when the red light is on. And actually, Caledonia or Sturtevant has a little different rule on that here in town when the lights are on. So naturally, you're supposed to stop, give them room. I leave about three or four car spaces behind the bus so that I can see around it and see if there's kids moving around it as well. Yeah. It gives me scope of vision so I can be extra careful. And, you know, kids are going to be kids. They're going to be running. They're going to be careless. They're going to be playing with each other. They might be chasing a ball. So you really just can't depend on the stop sign that the bus puts out. You have to look at the environment that's around you and make sure that it's safe as you move forward from moving from the
bus. I only took a bus for a half year in kindergarten, maybe with a full year. Because other than that, I live close enough to the schools. I didn't think so. When you're walking in the rain, it seems like 20 hours you're walking. But Mr. Clancy was our bus driver. This is way back in 1960. He was our bus driver. And he's the nicest guy. But he had rules on that bus.
Yeah, sure.
And when he turned around and gave you the eye, the side eyes or whatever, that bus was quiet. Everybody was in their seat. He was a volunteer fireman. He taught us about the whistles that blew in our town, what they meant. And he was a good guy. But he was dead serious. When that bus is moving, you sit in your seat. You could talk, but do not get out of your seat.
It's very important.
And there were no seat belts. Yeah. And there were no of those signs that come out. There were no, those didn't exist yet.
Mm-hmm.
But never forgot Mr.
You're
Clancy.
You're that old, huh?
Thank you. But Mr. Clancy, I never forgot that guy. And it was the only bus driver I had in my life.
Well, you know, we think of the big yellow buses, but there's actually white buses, small buses, special education buses, daycare vans, and just regular people transporting their children back and forth, you know, cars picking up the
kids. Right, the daycare vans, too, yeah.
So, and some of them don't have the appropriate signage, so you have to really be careful when you're around those type of buses, because if you're not careful, there's a good probability, not possibility, but probability, that you're going to be putting kids in danger, and yourself, for that matter.
It just galls me when that red sign is out and people just driving past the bus.
Oh, yeah.
How'd you get a driver's license? That's on the test. I know it's on the test because I remember it on the test. How did you pass that test and pass that sign?
Well, I think a lot of times people are confused when there's a median and when there isn't a median.
Yeah, but you're driving right next to the bus.
I'm
not talking about somebody on the other side. I'm talking about the guy driving past it. He's behind the bus, just gets around it. Yeah, the median thing is kind of confusing. If there's a boulevard
right, where
there's a... Now, you don't have to stop if there's a boulevard, like a
median. If there's a median, you don't have to stop.
Right.
But if there's no median and you're six lanes across, you got to stop.
Yeah, and I don't see people doing that.
Yeah.
Hold on a second here. We're talking to Alder Henry Perez from the 12th District. We're talking about safety issues today on this Memorial Day holiday. It's 7:48 at WRJN Local News, Timeless Hits.
Hospice Alliance's care team includes trained volunteers who share their time and talent to help carry out our mission of providing quality and compassionate care. Our volunteers offer support from companionship and respite time to running errands and office work and so much more. Serving patients and families in Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. Learn more about assisting in Hospice Alliance's mission. Visit hospicealliance.org.
Racine, welcome to the tropics, right on Durand Ave. At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, they're blending smoothies your way. Add-ins like protein, collagen, and even the perfect sweetness level. It doesn't stop at smoothies. Fuel up with toasted wraps, sandwiches, or go hazelnuts for the tropic bowls. Try the acai with Nutella, or power up with their peanut butter protein crunch bowl. 32 grams of protein and major vacation vibes in every bite. Now open at 6035 Durand Ave. Made to order, made for you. Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Vacay starts here.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see fountainhillsapartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Summer is here. Get some extra cash today with an installment loan up to $2,500 from your friends at AmeriCash Loans. AmeriCash Loans is a licensed lender with locations throughout Wisconsin. Just come by the Kenosha store at 6430 Green Bay Road, right in front of Lowe's. You can also call the store manager right now at 262-605-9777. That's 262-605-9777. Or visit AmeriCashLoans.com to apply online. That's AmeriCashLoans.com. Restrictions may apply.
Oh my God, you guys, Legally Blonde continues this weekend at the Racine Theater Guild. Elle Woods is totally in love with Warner until he dumps her to attend Harvard Law. Determined to win him back, Elle ditches fashion magazines for law books and gets accepted to Harvard too. Tackling stereotypes, statutes, and scandal, she defies expectations and proves herself to the world in this fabulously fun and inspiring musical. Call the box office 633-4218 or visit racinetheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
Twelfth District Alder Henry Perez is with me. Here we're talking about safety issues, safety for joggers, and this is the jogging season coming up. Although I see people jogging in the winter, I don't get it, but I do see them jogging in the winter. So this is the jogging season. People out very early in the morning, and a lot of people going to work at that hour in a rush because they are late for whatever reason. And the joggers, you know, you're supposed to stop and follow the stop signs, the street lights, and everything else. So let's talk about that, jogger safety.
Yeah, jogger safety, that's very important. You know, when you're jogging down the street, a couple of things could happen to you. You could get, unfortunately, you can get hit by a car, which is very dangerous. But it's also, because of the crime, you know, you could be attacked, harassed. So you need to make a plan. You need to make a predetermined emergency plan, right? So jogging safety isn't the only place where an emergency plan is available. It should have your name, your address, your date of birth, your physical measurements, your hair color, fingerprint or DNA, hair or saliva, sample of something that the police could use for positive identification if they need to investigate. But something that's really important and people forget, make sure that others know where you are. When you're going to leave the house, that your family or friends know that your intention, what your intention is and how long you intend to be gone. Having others you know and trust is very valuable in case something would possibly happen to you. Don't be deceived. There are people everywhere with evil intent. So make sure your friends or family know where you're going, what your route will be, and how long you intend to be away. Let your friend know your route. Pick a designated space along your route where you get to know someone and make a friend. In case there's an emergency, you may need to be able to stop at their house to get help instead of going all the way back home. Use or carry with you a flashlight, which you can use not only if you're jogging at night, but early morning, reflective clothing. The flashlight you can also use as a weapon because most of them have bevels on the top and you can hit somebody with it and it'll pick up their DNA. I recommend pepper spray or pepper gel, and you can easily find that at Walmart and some of the other sports stores as well. Keep a knife or a tactical pen on you. Knives are legal to carry in Wisconsin. That's not an issue. And a tactical pen actually writes, but has a pointed end on one end that you can hit somebody with it and break a window if you need to. And a fanny pack with your personal identification. And use technology. Don't close yourself off from the real world. Track yourself. Let others know where they can track you. Be a tracker. And one important thing, too, that always people forget, people wear ear pods all the time, right? So one of the things you need to do is wear just one instead of both
so that you can hear traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. And people forget about that, and that's such a simple thing. If you don't hear something coming at you because you're too focused on running and hearing what you're listening to, that can be very dangerous as well.
This is some tactical thing you have here. You need like one of those police vests that come out like 40 feet with all this stuff to jog with.
Well, not really. I mean,
My wife, when she goes out in the lakefront, she has a whistle with her.
Yeah.
And she has a little thing of something around. I don't know what it is.
So the whistle serves two purposes. If you fall down and can't get up, you can blow the whistle. People come looking for you. If you fall down while you're walking and you're down in a ditch or something, that's a way to notify people. Other than that, the whistle is really good for pretty much just that. I always carry a whistle on my key ring just for reasons like that.
People attack you don't like attention, and whistles bring attention.
Well, that's the whole idea. Yeah. But if you're in danger, you want attention. So
right, but the bad guys don't want the attention.
Right, right.
They don't like horns honking. They don't like
sure.
Let's talk about home safety in the last few minutes here.
Sure, home safety. Now, this is one of the things that are most important. Most of us live in a home or an apartment building, and these are some safety tips that are really important. I'll give you 10 quick ones. Get an alarm sign, post it in your yard, even if you don't have one. It actually works. Most criminals would rather go to a house that may not have a sign in front of it than go to one that does. And if you can afford it, get a real alarm. You know, that's a simple. Have one that's monitored if you can. Place surveillance cameras. Wired is preferred to Wi-Fi because Wi-Fi can easily be distracted or interfered with through movement. Install lighting around the exterior of your house, not only for your own property so you can see out, but if law enforcement has to come on your property, they want to be able to see around the curtilage of your house as well. Get strong windows, but remember that you want plants underneath the ledge. You want to leave 6 inches of space between the ledge of your window and your plant. And you want your plant to be something that has spikes on it, like roses or something, because if someone's trying to break in, they will get cut, and then you'll have DNA evidence as well. And that's really, keep any tools that you have around the outside that can be used to break a window. Keep them in the garage if you can, or in a shed. Make sure that you look around your yard, or remove any objects that can be used to break into a house. And something very important, most crimes occur with people walking into your front door or your garage door. Keep it locked and secure. And additionally, remember to do that also as well with your windows. Get a peephole. If you're going out of town, cancel your mail and your newspaper. Put it on hold. You might even get credit for it. And have a plan. Have a plan in your house where you're going to go if there's a crisis, who you're going to contact. Keep a flashlight in every room in case there's bad weather like we had just a couple of weeks ago and the power goes out.
Here's something else I heard a while ago. They said, sleep with your key fob for your car on your nightstand. And if you hear somebody near the house, hit the horn on the key. Because the horn will scare them and they'll go away.
Well, we hope they'll go away.
Well, if I heard a horn, like right in front of me, I think I'd... Again, they don't want attention. Horns bring attention. In the middle of the night, people start turning on their lights and looking out the windows. Now, who's the idiot who's got their horn going? And you hear that, and it keeps going.
And that alarms other people as well, so they all go look at their windows. Right. They look at the Ring cameras, their surveillance videos, and that way it can be a very important safety feature.
We have one of those, what do they call those? Things that you put on your steering wheel. I forget the name. The club. Yeah, we have one of those. And if you watch the YouTube video on it, the guy says, put it in such a way where they could see it in the window.
Absolutely.
Don't put it in the way where they can't. You want them to see it.
Right.
Once they see the club,
it's a preventive measure. Absolutely.
Right. Even if you don't have it locked on, they see it and they know they can't steer the wheel and they move on to some other guy. You don't want some other car to get burglarized, but you don't want your car.
We had a funny story when I was in a state attorney investigator in Miami. We were all assigned the clubs because they kept stealing our cars. And so once we got the club, we had no more cars stolen.
Yeah, I have this one back from my original Camaro, which I got back in the 70s.
Sure.
And it's a big, thick one, not like the thin ones they have today. And you put it on there, and you just make sure the person walking by, sure they can see it.
Right.
And they'll pass your car.
And you want the angle of the top part of the club towards your window, on the other side.
We keep it, it's between the window and the front window. It's locked in there, so you can't even turn the wheel.
That's all I did.
If you wanted to, you couldn't do it. And Just don't lose the key. we have two of them just in case one of us loses it. I thank you for coming in on this Memorial Day holiday today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me, Don. Anytime, be more than happy to come back on the show.
And you teach during the daytime, though.
I do. I teach dual language special ed at Gerstead Middle School.
Yeah.
6th, 7th, and 8th grade, Spanish and English.
I was telling you before we went on the air, that's a rough age.
It is. For sure it is. We've done a great job at school this year. I usually notarize. I'm a notary public, and I usually notarize their paperwork for expulsions and stuff like that. I haven't even had to do too many this year. We've really come a long way.
Good for you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much.
12th District Alder Henry Perez, you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you, brother, and blessings to you and the hearing community out there.
Thank you very much. All right, it's 8 o'clock on the nose. Let's do the news. Let's do it.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Stacy Lynn. Memorial Day ceremonies took place all across the country this weekend. Reporter Bruce Marcus is in St. Germain, Wisconsin.
It's a small community that's big on patriotism. About 100 people showed up at a park to honor local heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice. Marlon Mee attended.